Do you believe in ghosts?
Good morning, evening, or afternoon, wherever you are, whenever you are. This is Tyler here with another episode of Ghost Stories, the podcast for our Patreon listeners. If you've binged the three Halloween specials, I guess you've been listening to me for the last, I don't know, 20 minutes or so. So hello again. To our listeners everywhere else, hopefully you've caught us the last 2 days, or maybe you've been saving this for Halloween, for after your trick-or-treating and your candy, or if you've had a few drinks with friends all dressed up as a ghost, witches, goblins, whatever. Either way, I'm glad to have you here. And we have a great story sent in by a patron of the podcast named Kai. But before we get to that, a few bits of housekeeping. And oh, I'm glad this is my third intro I've had to record tonight. I've been working for about 4 hours on the podcast now, just in one evening. That's let alone the prep yesterday. A big shout out, firstly, to my wife, who helped record half the episodes. I'd be even further behind without her picking up that slack. And she's recorded tonight's as well. So that's a big help. So I appreciate it. Another big shout out to all our patrons. Now, without you, you know, it's we would be here. That's a lie. But you know, your financial support really helps, because it's a labor of love. You know, getting equipment, keeping things pristine. I used the XLR example the other day, and we bought new mics recently. It just keeps us on top of our game here, recording it, because this is not something I take away from. I do have a day job, so patrons, I do really appreciate you. And if you want to become a patron yourself and help with, keeping the studio lights on, I suppose, you can do so by subscribing for is $1 or $5, and that gets you ad-free early content, occasional specials, which we have 3 on the horizon that are Patreon only, and other benefits to come up in the future. Likewise, you can support us by just clicking that subscribe button, dropping a review, telling your friends and families about us, and liking us on Facebook. That stuff all all goes miles to help us continue growing and putting content out there. But now let's get down to business, because it is Halloween, and this story is a really intriguing one. It's about Kai's experience when he went to a hotel his sister worked at, a pretty spooky hotel from the sounds of it. I don't know if I'd want to visit it myself, but if you're an avid ghost hunter, I'm sure it'd be of interest to you. So Kai, thank you so much for sending this in. And yeah, it was a real pleasure to pull together and produce. So listeners, sit back and enjoy this year's Halloween special, A Night at the Hotel.
About 10 years ago, while I was still a child, my sister worked as a receptionist at a haunted hotel in our hometown. The hotel consists of two parts, an old mansion that dates back to the 1800s and a much newer section which houses the reception and the majority of the hotel rooms. It's a beautiful place, popular with tourists, often used to host dinner parties, weddings and other gatherings in grand style. While most of the hotel guests stay in the newer building, you can also book a room in the old mansion house if you wish. The inside of the beautifully designed wooden building is like a time capsule. All the furniture, paintings, rugs, and decorative items remain as good as untouched, exactly how they were over 100 years ago. As you would expect, such an old and historical building also comes with its fair share of ghost stories and rumours. Several employees and guests at the hotel have reported plenty of strange ongoings. Harmless things such as hearing footsteps, cold spots, doors opening and closing by themselves, but also some more unsettling events, such as apparitions of people dressed in clothes that belong in a different era walking towards them, sometimes straight through them with an empty look on their faces. Especially well known is the ghost of an unidentified lady in a red dress. There's been occasions several guests have stormed into the reception barely dressed in the middle of the night as they were too scared to stay in their rooms. and several workers have quit as a result of the hotel's occurrences and general atmosphere. Work in the reception was divided into three shifts. So one in the morning and afternoon, one in the evening, and then one that lasts throughout the night. My sister pretty much always worked the morning or evening shifts, and she'd straight up refuse to work through the night unless she absolutely had to. One summer, the latter happened for the first time, and she was freaking out, to put it mildly. As a result, she asked if I would like to accompany her on the night shift. I was out of school for the summer holidays and more than aware of the hotel's reputation, and like most other kids would have done, I jumped at the opportunity to spend the night in a haunted place and gladly accepted the invitation. The night shift started at 11 p.m, and within the next half an hour, the remaining evening shift staff had left, and the hotel was completely quiet, and it was only me and my sister left in the reception area. The first hours of the shift were quiet. My sister would sort through paperwork and other tasks, while I used a computer available to guests to surf the internet and play games. Then came the time of night that every receptionist at the hotel dreaded, the nightly inspection around in the old mansion. At roughly 3 a.m, armed with a camera for the occasion, we headed out of the lit up and warm main building into the chilly night air. As we live quite far north, it never gets fully dark during the summer nights. Instead, it's just a gloomy, mysterious atmosphere under a dark blue sky. Light enough that you can still see what's in front of you, but dark enough that every shadow seemed engulfing and threatening, and details were hard to spot. We walked across the empty yard, gravel crunching beneath our feet, towards the dark and empty old building. Nobody was staying there that week, so the heat was turned down, the lights were off, and all of the doors were locked. The front door creaked as my sister unlocked it, and a bit of light from the outside lit up the first few meters of the interior, and we quickly began inspecting the premises. All three floors, including the basement, had to be thoroughly checked and recorded before we could leave. I used the occasion to film a few minutes of video as we walked around the main floor. But other than some old furniture, creaky floorboards, and a painting of a little girl whose eyes followed you no matter where you moved, nothing spectacular occurred. The same could be said for the basement, where more paintings of people long gone watched your every step. The atmosphere of the building was undoubtedly eerie, something which was magnified by the mystical blue light that came in through the windows. I specifically remember feeling unease as I walked through the kitchen, where a lot of the paranormal events reportedly took place. The one thing I can say about the whole building is that you always felt watched. We headed upstairs to complete the inspection. This is where all the bedrooms are, and where many people have been kept awake at night by unexplainable activity. This includes a bedroom nicknamed the Round Room. This is where the infamous lady in red supposedly likes to be. The room is kept locked at all times. It's not part of the mandatory inspection route, but upon my request, my sister reluctantly unlocked the old wooden door so I could take a peek inside the notorious room. She took a step back after removing the key from the lock, as she's far from ghost hunter material. Butterflies filled my stomach as I slowly opened the door, knowing well that I could very well spot something that might stay with me for life on the other side. The door slowly opened, and the room unfolded in front of me. It was indeed round, and not very big. To the right were a table and some chairs, along with three windows that let more of that blue light into the room. On the wall facing the door were a couple of paintings of nature and the mansion itself. And to the left was an old single bed with just a mattress and a pillow. All looked normal, creepy like the rest of the building, but nothing out of the ordinary. That's when I noticed the detail that haunts me to this day. On the poorly lit bed in the corner, I could see the impression of a person lying there. The mattress was depressed in a distinct bodily shape, and the pillow had the clear impression of a head resting on it. Goosebumps formed on my arms and shivers went down my spine. The hairs on the back of my neck all stood up. I expressed some sort of swear word and took a step back before telling my sister what I was looking at. She refused to even come over to the doorway to take a look, so I made sure to snap a photo with my camera of the bed before leaving, and I still show it to people who don't believe my story. Now, you may be thinking that this was just the remaining impression of the last person who used the bed, but this room is never rented out to guests and it's kept up locked at all times. I also highly doubt that an employee at the hotel would use the room to take a nap during work time. Lastly, the impression was way too deep and defined to be old. I am to this day 100% convinced that somebody was lying on the bed in front of me that night. Not a big person either. The imprint would fit a large child or a small lady. After returning home the following morning, I had vivid dreams of being trapped inside the old mansion house. I've never regretted going there that night, but it's easily one of the most creepy experiences I've ever had.
Well, that's it, folks. That's it. Halloween 2021 in the bag. I hope you enjoyed this year's episodes. So firstly, a big thank you to Kai for sending in that story, A Night at the Hotel. Absolutely wonderful. And listeners, don't forget to go to our Facebook page or Patreon where we have a poll. You don't have to be a subscriber to vote in it either. And let us know if you thought A Night at the Hotel was based in fact or a pure work of fiction. I would love to know, and I'm sure Kai would love to know as well. Kai, make sure to send us any future stories you have. I'd love to have you on the podcast again, and thank you so much. And again, special thanks to Bill for his poems in the previous episode, and of course to Scary Stories for Creepy Kids. What a cute podcast, and I'm so glad that the next generation's out there putting out spooky stories. But that's it. I'm going to call it. It's been a busy few days, but I hope it's worth it. I hope you enjoyed this year's spooky Halloween episodes. We were already on course before they came out to have our biggest year ever. Our biggest Halloween ever. It's bonkers, isn't it? And thank you. Like, honestly, thank you. Every one of you listeners. We've been doing this, what, 6 years now? Start off really sporadically. Sometimes we'd only get out 4 or 5 episodes a year. And now we're doing it weekly. It's hard, but at times it's hard. It's not always hard. That's a lie. It could be hard at times just when I'm busy, but it's always a pleasure because I love putting this stuff out for you all. It's lovely hearing your messages and your support and everything. Like I said, I'm going to take a week off from the podcast, but we will be back soon. Until then, keep taking care of yourselves, taking care of each other, be safe, and most of all, don't stop asking.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Happy Halloween, everyone.